Is daf ayin beis. So we got to the last five lines of ayin aleph on beis. The Gemara says, "Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi Tashma, Damar Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Noach Nerag. Ben Noach is killed. Al pachas mishava pruta. If a Ben Noach steals a pachas mishava pruta, he's killed. That's considered gzela, even though with respect to Yisrael, we are mochel on a pachas mishava pruta. Legabi Ben Noach, they are machshivit as a davar mamon, and therefore they get killed on a gzera on gzela. So Gemara then says lo nitan lihishavon, and also they don't have the right, they don't have the ability to do hashavas gzela to return the money. That doesn't work for them either. They get killed. Just look at Rashi to clarify in the bottom here. Ben Noach shegazal as Yisrael pachos mishav pruta, he steals from a yid less than a shav pruta. Afagav the gavay Yisrael la mamonahu, even though with our respect to ourselves, it's not considered mamon less than shav pruta. The machli alayu, we are mochel on that amount of money. Gavay ovid kochav mamonahu, they do acknowledge it as being money. V'chein ben Noach nitzav al gezel, he's commanded on gezel, and therefore he gets killed. So the Gemara now wants to use this as a proof for Meshicha Kona by Ovid Kochavim or not. So what's the proof? So the Gemara says, last two lines of the Amud here, E Amr's Meshicha Ovid Kochavim Eino Kona. If you assume that, then when they draw something towards themselves, they do Meshicha, it's not a Kenyan. My Nerag, why are they going to be killed? They haven't accomplished anything. They Gzela, there's no Kenyani Gzela. Kenyanim don't work if they just do Meshicha alone. Gemara says, what do you mean? They get killed because Mishum Ditzara Li Yisrael. Granted, there's no Kenyan. Meshicha is not a Kenyan for the Goyim, but with respect to the Tzar that they gave, they caused pain to a Yid, that's the reason why they get killed. Now, Tos in the bottom here, I'm not going to go through it, but he says, wait a second, by Yid also, if I steal your money, there's no Kenyan. I have no right to just acquire your object against my will. Well, Ben Noach, the whole idea, all Ben Noach, they always get killed for anything they do wrong. No, but that's the definition of Gzela for them. Gzela for them is...
Meaning the reason why Gzela is... No, but it's not Gzela. Meaning we're saying that it's not Gzela, it's Mitztar, because if it would be Gzela, it would be Kohen.
I think he's saying that Gzela is Mitzar. Mitzar, whether it's more than Shaputa or Pachos...
Their definition of Gzela is
I think so. I would imagine. I think that's the idea. It really comes down to the point of, in general, when you define gezela, is gezela about a ma'aseh kinyan, or is it about being mechaser, causing someone else a loss?
Quote where, but it says it is this causing of distress that defines the act of stealing.
There you go.
Okay, so that's it. Okay.
Okay. So Gemara now says, now on the top of Amud on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, so that's the case because tsar. My lo nitain li shavon. What do I mean? My nitain li shavon. Rashi just explains what the question here is. If you look two lines down from the top in Ayin Beis, my lo nitain li shavon. How lo shayach be shavon? It's not shayach to return something. Why? D'chevin dovid kochavim lo kanya d'yisrahi. If there's no kin, when you do meshicha, it's not his to return. It's the yid's wherever it is. There's no Indian of, you don't return someone else's object that is not yours. It's still his. So the Gemara, what it means is eino b'taras. Hishavon, which Rashi explains, is Einam Bataras Hishavon Klomar Hachanami Kamar. That's exactly what it says. Meaning, Einam Bataras Shum Gzela, there is no Gzela, Dovid Kochavim de Cholhecha de Isa de Marahi. It's always the Yid, it's always Yisrael's. So it's never called returning. You don't return someone's object, even though it's called the Hashavas Aveda. That's not called returning. Returning is when you own something and you give it back to him and for him to keep, I guess. But if it's
changing the status or destroying, we find Israel would be coined.
If you destroy it, you wouldn't be kona the object, you just owe the money.
You just
not. Chi of mamonis now. Okay, so the Gemara then says, Yihachi, that's the case. Ema Seifa. The Seifa of that Brisa says, Bachaveiro, if another goy comes along, Benatlami Menu, and steals from the initial goy, so from the Gazan Risho, now Gazan Sheni comes along, Nerag Olav, the second Gazan now is killed for stealing from the first Gazan. So now the Gemara wants to understand, Bishma, this all makes sense. Reisha, Mishum de Tzara Yisrael, the first one gets killed because he caused Tzar to a Yid, but the second one, El Seifa, my Avrilei, the second one didn't cause Tzar to the Yid, he caused Tzar to the Goy. So why is that going to be considered Gzela, and why should he be killed on this? Ella must be, the Gemara concludes, Shma Mina, Meshicha Bovi Kocham Kone, Shma Mina. When the Gazan Rishon, when the Goy takes it from the Goy, he acquires it with Meshicha,
right.
And when the second Gazan takes it, he acquires it from the first Gazan, and therefore he's a Chayiv for Gzela. There's a Tosa Choshen that says a Gazan Sheni who steals from a Gazler Rishon is only a Mazik, he's not a Gazlan. And they ask a question from this Gemara. The Gemara clearly says here the Gazan Sheni who steals from a Gazlan Rishon is considered a Gazan, not simply a Mazik, but he's actually a Gazan as well. So there's a Kashan, the Tosa Choshen, based on this Gemara. The Gemara now says five lines down here, Ahu Gavra, a certain person, the Amr Le Lechavri, says to his friend, if I'm going to sell this land, you're my first guy. I'm going to sell it to you. I'm not selling it right now. I'm telling you right now. I'm putting it out there. When I'm ready to sell my land, I'm going to give it to you. What happened, of course? He sold to some other guy. He didn't keep his word. So what happens? So Amr of Yosef. If Yosef says, Kanakama, the first guy acquires it because he told him he's going to sell it to him. So the first one has the rights. Amalei Abaye says, how is that the case? V'hallo pasuk, they never made a price. Whoever said the first guy would have agreed to a proper price, and therefore he is able to retract and sell to the second guy. U'minat teimra d'chalheicha d'lo pasuk lo kana. How do you know whenever no price was set that the kinyan doesn't take effect? D'tnan, the Mishnah tells us, we saw this earlier, yesterday we saw this. Ha'mocher yeno lo'ovid kochavim, a person sells wine to a goy, Pasuk, if he makes a decision, Achila Madad, before doing Mashiach, so they decide a price point, and then he does the Medida, Damav Mutarim, because then the moment he does the Medida, the moment he measures out what he's taking, so then the Goy is Kone it, and then when he touches it, as Yayin Esach, it's already owned by the Goy, so the Yid's able to hold on to the money. That's if there's a Pasuk, if there's a decision, if there's a price agreed upon. But Madad Achila Pasuk, if he does a Medida before agreeing to a price, so then the sale is not final, the goy doesn't own it yet, and then if the Jew wants the money after he did the medida and the nisach, damav would be asurin. So we see clearly from here that there is a distinction between pasuk. So the Gemara says, my havelai, so what's the bottom line? My havelai, kidakamir, we just said, with the answer is that if he wasn't pasuk with the first guy, you could sell it to the second guy. Gemara says, no, and the question is, Dilma Chumra the Yai Nesach Shiny. Maybe we're more machmir when it comes to the Yai Nesach, but not when it comes to other areas. Meaning what? Yai Nesach, we say, if he didn't agree to a price in Lo Pasuk, so then we're going to be machmir and say that the Yai Nesach wasn't acquired yet, and it's going to be usher for the Yid. But maybe in other arenas where it's no Chumra of Yai Nesach or Vodah Zara, maybe even Lo Pasuk, the sale would be final, and maybe he would still be obligated to sell to the first guy, even though Lo Pasuk. So Gemara doesn't have an answer right now. So Gemara says, Tashma, I'm going to bring a raya that even in other instances, there is a distinction between Pasuk Yimo versus Lo Pasuk Yimo outside the arena of Yai Nesach. So what's the case? So the Gemara says as follows, that Tashma, the Amar Rav Idi Bar Avin, there's once a mice that happened in the house of base medrash of Rav Chista. Rav Chista Bei Rav Huna, and Rav Chista brought it forward to the base medrash of Rav Huna to ask some etza how to paskin. And they answered the question from the following Mishnah Ditanan. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Taros. There's a Brisa. They change it to Tanya. Okay, switch it to Tanya. So the Brisa, the side here, they quote a Mishnah in the Maseches Hashas. It must be something similar in the Mishnah that maybe slightly different. So they quote a Mishnah, Brisa, Mashach Chamarav Upualav V'chnisan Latoch Beso. Let's say the donkey rider leader and the various workers are holding on to fruit. And you bring them, not the fruit, you bring the actual people, and you bring the actual donkeys in who are holding the fruits. So lach is bein pasak achla madad, whether you decide a price before you did a medida, or bein madad, or you did a medida, you did a pulling achla pasak before making a price, lo kana. In this case, it's not final. We'll look at Rashi why this doesn't work. Why is there no Mashiach here? If I, in pasak, if I decide a price and pulled it into my house, shouldn't that be a Mashiach? How come the Gemara says lo kana and shneiam yichol lachzer behen? They could both retract. So Rashi explains here. If you look at Rashi, diber maschil mashach heimanu chamarav upalav, where he pulled the actual chamarav, the actual donkey leaders and the workers. Harei shayam mevi chamarav atun imperos. He brought the donkeys in who were holding the fruit, not the fruit. The donkeys holding the fruit. Upalav nosin bekadiv, and the workers holding the fruit on his shoulders. Umashcham it should be. Mashcham, he pulled the actual people and donkeys in. Chaveiro bimenu v'chnisan letoch beisu. Now his house is full of donkeys and people holding fruit. La mashicha, that's not called mashicha. She'ein mashicha kona bivnei adam. You don't do mashicha on a person. Uperos kozman shehein alayu, as long as they're on top of a person or an animal, lokana. So he didn't do Mashiach of the fruit, he did a Mashiach of the people and the donkeys. So that's why it's not Kona. But back to the Brice inside the Gemara, the last narrow line, the last word, Parkin. Let's say he removed the fruit from the shoulders and from the backs of the donkeys, v'chnis on the toch beso, and then did a Mashiach on the actual peros, brought the fruit into his house. Pasuk, if they decide a price per fruit, ad shalom adad, before doing Medida, and then he does the Mashiach into his home, then ein shneim yichol nachzer ben, neither one could retract. But if he did a madad, if he did Medida, ad shalom pasuk, but he didn't decide a price point just yet, so then since they did Mashiach before Pasach, so Mashiach doesn't work, shneim yichol nachzer ben, they both can retract. So we see from here that there is a distinction between Pasach Imo versus Lo Pasach Imo in outside the world of Yayin Nesach. So too the previous case, even though he said, if I sell my land to the guy, I'll sell to you, since he never decided a price, he's not bound to sell to the first guy and could go on to sell to the second individual. Okay.
What's the whole union of Mashiach? He's not buying them.
He just come into my house, bring them into my house, come right. Inside, and they're holding the packages.
Right.
So that's not called Mashiach.
Meaning, it's nothing.
Exactly,
it's nothing. It's just
that was a Maisa, which right. Is a very reasonable case to happen.
Yeah.
You slept the packages in the house, that doesn't work. So then the Gemara says, two wide lines down. Now, who Gavra? There's once a person, Damar Le Lechavre, said to his friend, Im Mizavinin no la Lehai Arav, I'm going to sell this land, Mizavinin no lecha b'mea zuz, I'm going to sell to you for 100 zuz. Also, Zavna Lina Shachrina b'mea v'esen. He found the guy willing to pay more, so he sold it to the second guy for 120 zuz. So Amr of Kahana, Kanakama, the first guy. You already had a price point, Pasuk Imo, you gave him a price point, and then you agreed to him. So you can't sell to another guy because you found a better deal. So Maskiv Lo, Rav Yaakov, Minahar Paku, that was where he came from. Rav Yaakov asked, Hai Zuza Ansua, this money was Ansua. He was forced into selling it, and we'll see what that means in just a second. We Paskin Vehochasak, Rav Yaakov, Minahar Paku, that you could sell to the second guy. What does that mean, Zuza Ansuhu? So Rashi explains here, it's a little confusing what he means here. Zuzi Ansu, it's around 10 narrow lines up. Rashi says, Zesh Nasan Lo Mea V'Esrin, the guy who paid 120, the second guy, who paid the higher price, unto the Mocher, kind of forced, pressured the Mocher to sell. V'Cholkama De Lo Yav Le Kui Hai, if he didn't give that, he didn't put a gun to his head, but he really enticed him. Ansu means he enticed him with a lot of money. So if he didn't give that much money, Lo Hava B'Dai Te Lezun, he wouldn't sell it unless he paid 120. So from the fact that once he hit the 120, he said, okay, I'll give you 120 for the land, that showed that the mocher really wanted to sell for that price point. The Ihu, when the mocher said initially to the first guy, when he said to him, Imez Avina Le, when I sell the price, Bishavya Kamar Le, when I sell for the actual value of the land, when I said 100 to you, I didn't really know what the value was. I'm willing to sell for the value. In my mind, I really felt 120 was the proper price. So Vaha Lo Zavne Medaito Elabal Karcho. So when you're selling to the first guy for 100, that wasn't really what he wanted to sell for. He was kind of forced into it because he couldn't find any buyers. But when you later on found the guy willing to pay 120, that showed his true colors and his true interest, and therefore Yaakov felt that the second guy was the right buyer. So this is very, very challenging, of course, in business. You tell one guy a deal price, and you change.
I just wonder why isn't it that it's a mix that you are not, it's a mekach taos or something, and then they start all over, and you know, meaning. I understand that the first one is not going in, but maybe you can annul the second one and start all over and give this the first one a chance.
Well, so that's actually machlokas rishon. The Ravid says you have to actually ask the first guy, do you want to sell for 100, buy it for 120? You have to
right,
give him that option.
Because otherwise it would be.
It's say from Rashi. Rashi seems to say that the first guy is completely cut off. But Rabbi thinks, okay, so I imagine in business, it's probably the proper thing is to go back to the first guy.
Yeah.
That'd be derech eretz. Outside halacha, I'm not sure how to understand the machlokas Rashi
right.
Tosos, but certainly with derech eretz, lefanim eshes adin, you should give the first guy that option.
You really have a contract that says exactly that.
Well, if it's a contract, then you have to follow the contract. That's always the case.
Usually it defines what steps you have to take to offer the first person.
But in this talk, all what's called verbal agreements. So when it comes to verbal agreements, so it's a little bit more loose. So then that's what it's really discussing right here. There's an interesting conversation. They discuss, let's say a person, there's an interesting case here, but there's a fascinating chiluk here. The case that was happened, there was a tshuva by Yehoshev HaEfer. I don't know who that is, but he asked the question that a guy was selling, he was selling svarim. And he said, all the proceeds I make from the svarim, I'm going to give to this particular tzedakah. Now it turns out is, when he ended up selling the svarim, he made a lot more money on the svarim than he imagined he would get for the svarim. They were antiques, whatever it was. Now he wanted to retract and not give all the money to the tzedakah like he initially had promised. So there's a halacha. We know once a person agrees to something verbally, so we say, Ein ruach chacham nocha himimenu. If you retract, the chacham are not very pleased with what you say. That's the mission in Maseches Baba Metzia. So he wanted to know, can he retract? Because he thought he's only selling for $1,000, ended up selling for $1,500 this far. Can he retract on what he had promised at tzedakah? So what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in general, when a person makes a verbal agreement in business, you can't retract. Even if the Ramah says, even if you have a better deal later on, you can't retract. I had this once. I was selling my house in Queens. A person came and offered a certain amount of money for the apartment we had, and we didn't sign any contracts. And then later that night, another person came for more money, wanted to know whether we could go for the guy with a higher price. And Rav Willig said, since I agreed to the first guy, even though it was that very same day, it's best for me not to go for the guy with the higher price. Even though he could have found the kula, we should follow the Ramah and go with the first person who I agreed to. So, however, the Cheshev HaEfod says that's all true when it comes to my own money. If I'm representing someone else, like a gizbar for tzedakah, I'm collecting for someone else, then you have no right to keep the first guy because you're losing money to someone else. For my own cheshbon, my own account, I could say, okay, I'll miss the $5,000 I could have made. But someone else, I can't be shliach and say, no, I need to be machmir and to take the first approach. And therefore, there's room to say, when it comes to collecting tzedakah for the aniyim, I have no right, I can retract to go for the higher price to make more money for the aniyim. Interesting distinction.
But you still give it to the
aniyim. It sounds like from here, only if you give it to the aniyim.
So you can't just keep it for yourself.
Exactly. I don't think you keep it for yourself. You have to give it to maybe someone else. Or how he says this here is that you can't cause a hefsid mamon to someone else's money. It's the same conversation when it comes to a person who's very machmir. He wants to do chumras. So you could do chumras on your own account, but to make chumras to affect someone else, to your wife and your family, that's a whole other story. Or let's say there's a chumra when it comes to geniza. Sitches that become possible. Nikar din, all you have to do is place it in a bag and you can throw it in the garbage. You don't have to do geniza into the dirt like they do for shemus. But there's a chumra, there's a mishabura that some say you should bury it. So if you're going to drop your tzitzis off in the shul, make the shul pay for your chumras, that would be wrong. That's also to do. If you want to pay for the chumra, that's fine. But to make someone else pay for your chumras, that would not be allowed. Okay. Mar now says we're on 5 wide lines down. Amarlei. So let's say the person says, Kedishaymei betlas. They want to make an assessment of the property. They say, let's make a deal. Let's pasuk imo. Whatever 3 people say the value is, that's going to be what I'll sell it for. So what's the halacha? Gemara says, afilu trei migo tlasa. Even though he said 3 people, it really means 2 of 3. He means a bezdin. I want 3 dayanim to sit together, and whatever the majority says, the price of the property will be, that will be the price I'll sell it to you for. Let's say he says, kidakamri petlasa, not shaymi. Shaymi means to assess. Kidamri is like people say, then he means ad daamri petlasa, until all 3 people say the same price. I want 3 people to all agree. Let's say he says, kidashaymi barba, the assessment of 4 people, then here you need adamri barba. Since normally an assessment is a bezdin of 3, but he decided to choose 4, he's straying away from the typical bezdin, and he wants all 4 people to say the same price, whatever 4 people decide together. The kolshke, and certainly hecha de amrle kida amri barba, when he uses the word amri, certainly there he also means all 4 have to be in agreement. So then amrle, they say an additional case, let's say they make an agreement, I'll sell the property for you, kidashaymi betlasa, however 3 people make the assessment, and v'asu tlasa v'shamu, and 3 people come along and make an assessment. V'amrili idach, and the buyer, the lokech, says, laisi tlasa achrin, I want to have 3 other people. Who said these 3 people? I want 3 different people. And the kimlai tve, that I trust as greater assessors than the previous 3 that you had assessed the land. Amra papa dina hu demakev, the lokech has the right to choose 3 other dayanim to assess the land to his liking. So Maskev La Rav Huna Braid of Yeshua. He doesn't like this because Mimai the Hani Kim Letvei, the Mahani Kim Letvei. Who says the second three people are going to be more precise than the first three people? And Hilchasa we pass like Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua. If again the Mocher makes an initial assessment from three people, and that was the agreement, you can't say one another three people do it. Whenever three Anashim come and give the assessment, that's what the agreement was on. It doesn't seem like, in terms of decision, it doesn't seem to be a decision that was suggested. It seemed like the Mocher did that. If they are going to sit down and make the decision, they came, exactly. It doesn't mean no one invited them to come.
Right.
If it came down to it, I don't know how you would choose.
It says here in the note that it only works if both decided, if they both participated in choosing them. One did, it doesn't help.
So that's just a strange thing. So if the lokeach chose, how could he even entertain the possibility of bringing a second set of three dayanim? And how do you pick the three? It's also uneven. Right. But still, also, how do you pick the three? I mean, if it's three people, so I pick one, you pick one, who picks the third one?
So, I guess they're not fighting yet. You know, they say, okay, now let's pick three guys. So they take the three best real estate brokers in the area.
Uh-huh.
Which everybody would agree, I guess. Uh-huh. And he didn't like it. So.
Uh-huh. Okay. I guess that's the case.
I'm reading further. It says it could be a situation where they both agreed to pick assessors, and then one of them decided not to, which is like reneging on the deal. So uh-huh. The other one picked, and then the first guy didn't complain.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's a little more complicated. Okay.
And
fine. Okay.
In the presence of the other guy. You know.
Okay, so it's not just a smooth, not a, right, okay, fine. New Mishnah tells us now in Ayin Beis as follows, that not till it's a mashbech is a funnel, I believe, umadar l'toch tzuchiso shel obed kochavim, the funnel was used to measure out or to pour into a barrel or a bottle of a non-Jew with a Yain Nesach inside, the chazer madar l'toch tzuchiso shel Yisrael, then you take that same exact funnel and you use it to pour into a Jewish bottle, a Jewish-owned bottle, wine into his bottle. So then, im yeshbo akvas yayin aser, if there's some wine remaining from the yayin nesa, from the non-Jewish wine, in that funnel, so now you use it for the Jewish bottle, so all that wine going to the Jewish bottle is going to be aser also because of yayin nesa. The Gemara is going to discuss this. Then the Mishnah says, ha-ma'ara mikli el kli es she'ira mimenu mutter, ve-she'ira letocho aser. If you have a kli, and a non-Jew takes that bottle and pours into a second bottle, so that bottle from mimenu that you're pouring from, the remaining wine is actually mutter in that bottle, but what you're pouring letocho, pouring into, is actually going to be aser. And the reason is, we're going to see in the Gemara, is this on Indian of Magen. When it comes to a guy who's Magu, touches wine, so all the wine he touches is always going to be aser. Here he's just pouring from one wine. Kocho, we'll see, his strength, his koach, only is aser kocho when pours out into something else. But that which remains in the previous bottle is not considered kocho. Isn't it maga? So it's a little complicated. He's not touching the actual wine, he's touching the bottle.
What's the first case?
The first case where he uses the same funnel for a kosher wine as he is for a non-kosher wine.
But it would seem that everything is kosher, no?
No, because
it's just that the kli is from the guy, no?
No, the kli, is he using the same funnel? We're going to see how that funnel, the Gemara is going to ask, how does that funnel become us in the first place? But first you use it, Joe walks in, you fill up Joe's bottle with the funnel, and then that funnel now has the Ayin Nesach on it somehow. We'll see why. Then you use that same funnel to fill up Reuven's bottle, and then when you pour wine into Reuven's bottle, it's picking up that wine that's left over in the funnel, and now it becomes us as it falls into the Jewish-owned bottle. So we'll see why in a second how that funnel becomes usher. So the Gemara now quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah that comes to Maseches Taros, Hanitzok Vakatpres. So what's Nitzok? Nitzok is when there's a connection, a flow. Rashi gives an example of a gutter. So a gutter is coming down, water from top to the bottom, so you have a flow like that. Or a Katapres, which is a more of an incline. It's going down a hill, you have water connecting top and bottom. Or Mashke Tofeach. Mashke tofeach is water it's a little puddle of something that's wet. It could get something else wet, but it's not wet enough where it could get my finger wet, where my finger then could get something else wet. It's just wet to get my finger wet, but my finger is not wet enough to get something else. So these three instances, the Mishnah says, Eino chibra, does not create a chibra, cannot connect. If I have a puddle here and a puddle here, and in between there's a flow, or a top here and top bottom here, there's a flow. That flow doesn't connect top and bottom. Lo, lutuma, below latara, meaning what? Let's say I touch, I'm tame, let's say, I touch the bottom puddle. The fact that there's a constant flow to the top, we don't make the top tame also. That doesn't create any connection, whether or not it's a flow vertically or it's going to go on an angle, or if there's some mashke, tofeach, that's wet but not so wet, it's not a chibur with regards to tumah. Below the tara, with regards to tara also. If I have now, I need 40 saw for a mikvah. I only have 20 saw here, but 20 saw up there, and there's this constant flow. That flow cannot be mechaber, the two bores, to make 40 saw. That's the mission, Meseches Taros. So then the mission says, but if it's an ashbaran, which is a puddle that's in between two mikvahs or two tumas, then that can, if it's a significant puddle, that can be chibur lutuma v'latara. So that's the mission. So it comes along now, Amar Rav Huna Nitzok v'Katapres u'Mashke Tofeach Chibur Linin Yai Nesach. With respect to Tumah V'Tara, these items don't serve as a Chibur, but with respect to Yai Nesach, it can serve as a Chibur. So if, therefore, if I have Yai Nesach on the bottom, and then there's this constant flow to the top of the mountain to wine that's there, let's say, and there's a Nitzok, that will aser as well the wine on top. So Gemara says, Amar Le Rav Nachman Le Rav Huna, Minala Ha Ha. How do you know that? How do you know Chibor works? That Nitzuk is a Chibor for Yai Nesach. If you're going to tell me Ilema Mititznam from the Mishnah that tells us on Nitzuk, Vakatapres, Umashka Tafayach, Eino Chibor Lol Tumah Lol Tara, the Mishnah says that these things don't serve as a Chibor for Tumah Vatara, and you want to be Medayek, Lol Tumah Vatara, Hu Dolo Havi Chibor, Ha, but you want to learn Le Inin Yai Nesach, Havi Chibor, it can't serve as a Chibor for Yai Nesach. Well, look at the Seifa, because the Seifa, you're going to have the complete opposite conclusion. Ema Seifa, ha'ashbor in this puddle, chibor l'tumah v'latara. So you can be medayik. It's only a chibor l'tumah v'latara, ha, to have a chibor. But ha, le'inin yai nesach, respect the yai nesach, lo have a chibor. It's not going to be a chibor, in which case you have opposite conclusions from the Reish and the Seifa, and we say, ela meha leka l'mashim minei. We can't make any conclusions from this mission. So again, how does he know that with regards to the Yai Nesach, a Nitzuk, a flow of wine, is going to be Chibur? So Gemara says, from our Mishnah here in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Dav Ein Beis, that's the source. What's the Mishnah? Last two lines of the Amud, Tanan. Natal Samashbech, you take the funnel, Umadar Latoch Tzulchiso Shel Ovi Kocham, you measure out, you pour the wine into a non-Jewish owned bottle. The Chazer Madar Latoch Tzulchiso Shel Yisrael, then you take that same funnel to measure out a Jewish bottle. And the Mishnah had said on the top of Ayin Beis, and Beis we're going to now, Im Yesh Bo Akvas Yayin Aser. If there's some type of thing, there's some wine that remains behind from the non-Jewish bottle, it's going to be Aser, all the wine you're pouring into the Jewish-owned bottle now.
Right, so all the Yayin is Mutar. It's just that there's some Yayin left over in the Kli of the Goy.
But now that Kli, that funnel is being used for the Jewish bottle.
Right.
And now as everything goes in...
Right, that it's always the same, it's always kosher wine.
The wine itself is kosher, but it becomes also as it hits the Yai Nesach going down.
Because the Kli of the Goy still has some leftover.
Exactly.
The
it becomes a taruvas like we discussed, right. And we said whether that's asering all the Yai Nesach, or maybe right. You could sell everything chutz mi Yai Nesach Shebo. So the Gemara now asks the question, ha ikvas yayin b'maika matasra. So let's say there is some residue of the wine in that funnel from the non-Jew. What made it us in the first place? I mean, what happened here? I have kosher wine. Now they have a little, I don't know, a spout you open up, you pour the wine in. So I've got a funnel here. I'm filling up the non-Jewish bottle of wine. So now I'm pouring the wine out. So the wine coming in is all kosher wine. Any wine that hits the funnel, it's still kosher. When does it become Yai Nesach? So Gemara says it must be, since it touches the bottom of the bottle and there's Yai Nesach there, that flow is answering everything coming down from that spout, even the wine that's on the funnel. That's what the Gemara is concluding. So again, the Gemara says, again, ha ikvas yayin b'ma akevas yayin b'mai kametasra la b'nitzuk. Is it not through the nitzuk from the flow? It touches the bottom of the yayin of the non-Jewish bottle, which is yayin nezach, and it flows all the way up to the top of the funnel. Shema, we know we could conclude from here, nitzuk is a chibur. That's his right that with regards to yayin nezach, nitzuk is a chibur. Gemara says no. Tani Rabbi Chia commented on our Mishnah, why is the wine in the funnel usher? Not because of Nitzuk, but Shepachasaso Tzolchiso. Where you poured wine and it overflowed. You go to like those slurpee machines and the kids like make it overflow. So you pour in the wine and it overflowed and it touched the funnel. So not because of Nitzuk, because there was a constant flow, because the actual wine just overflowed.
Tarobis.
And not even, well, no, not Tarobis even.
because he's putting wine, good wine, into the bad wine, and the mixture of that wine overflows.
Well, I guess right, I guess for the mixture, but you have that every time the wine hits the bottom of the yainessa, the bottle, this yainessa comes.
Every drop becomes
yainessa. So now flows up. Now the funnel is actually in the yainessa, not because of a nitzuk, a flow. It actually, the wine just overflows, and the funnel is being is sitting in the yainessa.
Isn't the bottom of the funnel in the bottle, in the Nesef bottle anyway, even if it's been backed up, like that wine is now within the...
Well, no, because it only becomes...
Make a connection.
It has to touch the Yai Nesach for it to become Yai Nesach itself. So being in the bottle inside, we said the non-Jew yesterday would kone it, he would acquire it from the wine being in that bottle, but it won't be Yai Nesach until it actually touches the Yai Nesach on the bottom. So then the Gemara says, Amailo Tifsho. So now we could say, Tifsho Dinitzuk Eino Chibur. So now, since the only way the funnel is usher is because it overflowed, doesn't that seem to indicate that if it didn't overflow, if there's only Nitzuk Ba'alma, that wouldn't be Chibur? So we conclude that Nitzuk is Lav Chibur. Gemara says, no. Lo. Pachsaso Tzulchiso Tifsho Lecha. The usher. We could conclude that overflowed wine will make that funnel usher. But it doesn't have any conclusion with respect to Nitzuk. It's Tibai. It's still an open question. It still is a suffix. There's a Tosis on top here, though we're running out of time. He just talks about different types of... or let's read it quickly. Tosis... let's read it. Tosis says, Im Yeshbo Ekvas Yayin Aser Vim Tomer Lamali Akvas Yayin. Why do you have to say Akvas Yayin? Any wine that's remaining on it? Tepik Le Mishim Mashbech Gufe. A funnel itself, we're going to see in 2 days from today, Damar Lekaman Debay Niguv. You always have to dry off a funnel. Forget the residue that's there. Apparently embedded in the walls of one of the funnels, there's some wine. You have to almost like squeeze it out and dry it very, very well. So Tosa ends up saying the different types of funnels. V'tiritz Rabbeinu Tam de l'kaman, mari b'mashbech shel cheres. It's made of a earthenware. The bala tfei, it absorbs a lot more. That's why you have to dry it very, very well. Hacha b'shel eitz, here's wood. The lo bala kuli hai, it doesn't absorb so much. And it's only going to be usser if there's actual wine on the outside of the funnel. Then he goes on to give another explanation. You could read it inside if you'd like. Gemara now says Vayiter, 6 lines down. Tashma. We're still dealing with the question of whether Nitzuk is Chibur or not Chibur with respect to Yai Nesach. So Tashma. Ha'ma'ara mikli l'kli goy pours from one kli to another kli. Esh shim'ara mimenu mimutter. That which he pours from is mutter. Ha'dibeini beini also. We're learning from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said when he pours from something, that original bottle is mutter. That implies the in-between, the flow that's coming down, is actually usur. Why is it usur? Is it not because Shmamina needs a chibur? Because that now touches the bottom of the bottle, the non-Jewish bottle. Touches the Yai Nesach. So that flow all the way up to Beini Beini is all usur.
I guess the Gemara doesn't have the same question as the Gemara, because then the bottle also becomes...
If it's really nitzuk, I feel the gave mana nami litaser, the bottle he's holding from, it should go all the way back up into the bottle holding from, even from mimenu should be aser. Marsha holokasha, the kamaktif ktufe, what he does is he pours and stops, where there is never a flow touching top, bottom to top. So then the Gemara says, Mikomakom Nitzuk Chibor, is it really true that Nitzuk is considered a Chibor? L'tameich, according to this reason, Eima Seifa. The Seifa says, Es She'eru L'tocha Hu Da'asir. We could learn the opposite conclusion from the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, granted that wine that's remaining from the initial bottle is Mutter, but the wine that it pours into, L'tocha, is Asir. So now it can be medayik, L'tocha is Asir, but Ha'debeini Beini Shar, that which is in between, the flow, is actually Mutter. So since you have opposite conclusions from the Mishnah, Elameha, Leka, Lamash, Mimine, we can't make any conclusions from our Mishnah. So the Gemara finally says, this is the final proof. Tashma. Hame'ara michavis labor. Person pours from a barrel into a pit. Kilua chayorid misfas chavis lamata. The flow that comes from the lip of the barrel and below is aser. So we see from here, it sounds like that the beni beni, the nitzuk, is aser. Gemara says, Targuma Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis explains, Be'ovid kochavim hame'ara da'asa mikochom. It's where the guy takes it and he pours it. It's aser midin kocho. Not because it's connecting to the bottom of the barrel. Let's say the barrel was completely not never used. he's pouring it. The reason why the Beni is Asher, because it's Kocho, it's coming, it's Nisach, it's actual Nisach of a Goy. Nothing to do with connecting, nothing to do with Nitzuk at all. So then the Gemara says, if it's really an issue of Kocho, he over Kochavim HaMa'ara, if he's the Goy is the one really pouring, Afilu Gava de Chavisa Nami Mitaser. So then the inside of the Chavis should be Asher as well. So Gemara says a very important klal here, Koach Dovid Kochavim Midirabanu. The real din is the Koach, when it comes from the flow, the strength of the Goy, that's an only an Issa Midirabanim. The Aser, Hahu Dinafik Lebrai, Gazi Rabbanim. The Rabbanim only goes there, that wine that leaves the bottle. But Hahu Dilagavai, Logazi Birabanim. They never goes there, that which is inside. Only if it leaves the possession, it's actual Koach. But holding on to the bottle itself, that's not Kocho, and they were never goes there on him. Ritva says, wait a second. Maga Goy is also Aser. Midaraisa, Nisach is Aser. Doing a Nisach, that's Aser. Shaking the wine around, doing some pouring, that's Aser. But Mag, if he just touches it, that's also only Aser Midirabanim. So we should say, if a Goy touches a Yain, it should only be Aser, that which is taken out, but that which is within is still Mutter. We have another, again, why are we separating, why are we being Mechalik by the Aser Midirabanim of Koach, that Gavai is Mutter, and but Labrai is Aser, we should have the same Chilik by Mag, which is also Midirabanim. So the Ritva explains that Maga is Ke'en Daraisa. Because Midaraisa, Nisach, they used to do Nisach with their hands. They actually take with their hands, cup it, and pour it out. So since Maga is very close to that, simply touching with their hands into the wine, that's very close, they're Machmir, Bein LeGavai, Bein LeBrai. When it comes to Koach, Koach was really a further extension of just pouring something out, and since that's not so closely, that's not very similar to Nisach, they only asked any wine that came out of the bottle, but any wine that remained in the bottle is actually Mutter.
So we still didn't answer the Nitzuk, if Nitzuk is...
Exactly, there is no conclusion, but look what Rashi writes here. Rashi and Tosa seem to conclude here, though, and he goes against other Rishonim. Rashi writes, if you look, where's that Rashi here? So there's a Rashi. If not, there's a Tosos here. There's a Rashi, I'm not finding it right now, but Tosos says here, Kocho she'ovi kochavim derabanan, Behu de la Brai Gazu Birabanan de la Gavai Lo Gazu. They only answered, they only were gozer on the outside wine, but not the wine that remains inside. Mikan Shim Haya Hayain Kosher Betoch Kliyaka. Let's say it's kosher wine. Vinata Ovi Kochavim, and he takes that bottle as a kli mi bechutz from the outside. He takes a bottle from the outside, a classic case in the restaurant. He's taking yayin she'ein mevushel, and he pours the wine, v'shavach min hayayin l'chutz. He pours it out into a cup, v'lo noga b'yayin, doesn't touch the actual wine, ma she'nafal l'chutz l'kli aser, that which is in my glass now is aser, but ma she'betocha kli is actually mutter. So this is, goes against everything we've assumed. If open bottle of wine, didn't we say it's all going to be Aser? So the Tosus and Rashi, which I can't find right now, says the same exact thing. But other Rishonim actually argue and say that's not the case. A couple of things. Firstly, Rashi and Tosus assume that Nitzuk is Lav Chibur. The fact that they allow the wine in the bottle to remain Mutter, that assumes Nitzuk is Mutter. The Ravid argues and says, no, Nitzuk is Aser, and even the wine that remains in the bottle is going to be Aser. But that's all true if he's pouring into a non-kosher wine, there's Nitzuk. But let's say it's pouring to my glass, where it's clean, there's no Yayin Nesach to draw back. Everyone would seem to say that anything remaining in the open bottle of wine is actually Mutter by the non-Jew. It's Legabai, it's inside. In the end of the day, Shulchan Aruch says, there are some Rishonim who hold, and we should be Machmer this way, that even the wine remaining in the bottle is going to be Aser, unless it's a Hefsid Merubah. So I didn't know this before. I have to look into it. I'm not paskening here, but based on what I just saw, that the Hefsid Merubah, there is room to say, if a non-Jew touched a open bottle of wine that's very expensive, you were not in front of you, and you saw that he didn't touch the actual wine, there is room to say, you can be makel and not throw out the bottle of wine. Okay. Gemara now says,
yeah. We all agree that the wine that comes out becomes...
correct. Becomes, yeah, exactly. That's agreed by everyone. Exactly. The Gemara now says halfway down the page here, Amar lehu Rav Chista lehanu sevisa, to these sevisa, they were the sevisa, the moche yayin, ki kalaisi chamer lo bikochavim, when you measure out, when you pour wine for the non-Jews, what you should do is katve katufe, pour and end, pour and stop, so there's never is a constant flow into your bottle, backing everything up, making it usher. Inami nafse nefute, which Rashi says to kind of shoot it from far away. Imagine you have those, you know, sprays, you know, they have the beer to spray from. The water gun, so if I'm connecting to the tap. So, you know, don't do it close, like shoot it from far away. Therefore, since there's some level of distance there, it's not going to connect back in Nitzuk and trafe up all your wine back in the barrel. So Amar Le Rava, Rava says, Lahanu shvochi, those who poured wine, kishafchi sechamer, when you pour the wine, lo lekariv ovi kochavim lesayu bahadaichu, don't let the non-Jew come close and help you out, because what may happen while you're pouring the wine for him and he's helping you out, duma mishalisa vishadisa le'alav akasim mikochav aser, he might end up taking the bottle of the wine and pour for himself and end up chafing up your wine. Just make sure you keep your distance so he doesn't contaminate any of your yai nesach.
I thought we just said that wouldn't.
I mean, even he does take it.
What's the difference? So his wine will become nesach.
Right, so he's going to ask her the tachta. Rashi says here, look at Rashi, the last eight narrow lines down. He might take the bottle that you're taking. He's going to pour by himself. So he's referring to, I guess the tachton here is his own, you're saying he's pouring for himself. Maybe he's referring to a worker behind. He might ask her all the Jewish customers. That's probably what he's referring to. We have a non-Jew worker behind the counter with you. If he touches you, he's going to ask her the Jewish customers' wine, maybe? That's the case?
You're not selling it to his wife. He's just helping you.
That must be the case.
The guy is related to the
exactly.
Camera. He's not for himself. He's just helping for others.
For other Jews. If it's for non-Jews, do what you want.
Yeah.
If it's for Jews, you're going to ask her their wine. Okay, very good. So then the Gemara says, interesting case here. Hahu gavra, I don't quite get this. There's some pictures here already. Hahu gavra dasik chamer begishta ubaskishta. There's some type of kli that there are two straws that are coming out of it. You see that those arrows on the side of the page that Rashi drew? Not arrow, I mean like an upside down like triangle. You have that on the side of the page? No one has that? Really? On the classic one, it has like a line like this. See that? So you have two straws here, and they're going into bottles of wine. And what happened was the one bottle was filled with wine, the other one was empty, and they would like suck up the wine through the straw and then have it go down to the empty. It was
right.
Some way of filling up the bottle of wine.
That's how you do it. You,
oh yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a suck.
Oh.
So once you suck in, even if it's higher, it keeps on going down.
Uh-huh.
That's how you take gas out of somebody else's gas tank.
Oh yeah? Okay. What do I know? Okay. You have to show me these things. Okay. So anyway, so they were using this mechanism. And what happened was, asa over kochavim anach yade agishta. And the goy came along, placed his hand over one of the straws, one of these pipes, and now asrei rava lekuli chamer. He said all the wine inside is aser. So amar le rav papa le rava, v'amri le rav ada bar masin le rava, v'amri le ravina le rava. But my, how is it aser? Must be benitzuk shmas mina nitzuk chibur. Because the fact that he touched the top wine that connects all the way to the bottom, and all the wine inside is now contaminated. We could conclude nitzuk is chibur. And the Gemara says, no, shiny hus in this case is very different than the classic case of Nitzuk. The kuli chamra gishta baskisha garir. All the wine going up in the straw, it's not because of a flow, that actually becomes the wine. You know, I guess the case is, let's say you have a wine in a barrel, and then the top gets skinny. So that's like the top of a soda bottle where it gets skinny on top. That's all part of the wine there. It's not a nitzuk. It's just part of the wine. The wine is part of the bottle. It's just a very narrow top of the bottle. And not because of nitzuk, but because you touch the actual wine, which is all connected to the bottom of the barrel itself.
This method only works if the container that's being filled is lower than the other one.
Yeah, they have a picture over here also.
Meaning it's okay that once you take out the air, it can go, it goes up and down, but the final
yeah.
place has to be lower.
Right, they have a picture here. Right
exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Rashi explains this also.
Right.
Okay, then let's finish off. We'll get to the top of the next page here. Amar Marzutra Bereder of Nachman Kanishkanin Shari, which there's a picture also here. It's like a little tea kettle, it looks like, down here, where there are two like straws that you could drink from. Two people could drink from this at the same time. And what happens here is they say it's permitted, Shari, you're permitted to have a non-Jew and Jew drink from it at the same time, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, Hani mili the kadim pasuk Yisrael. It's only true if the Yisrael pulls away first. Val kadim pasuk over kochavim lo. But if the non-Jew stops drinking first, so whatever falls back down, he doesn't sip up, makes the remaining wine yai nesach, and then the Jew would be drinking yai nesach. So at the same time, it's fine, but not if he stops first. Exactly, that's what it kind of seems to say. The nitzuk is lav chibur. So then the Gemara says, Rabba bar Rav Huna ikle the Beirash Kalusa. He once visited the Reish Kalusa's house. Shara lehula mishay bekanishkanin. He permitted them to use this type of kli with a non-Jew. And Nikodami and others say, Rabba bar Rav Huna gufay ishtay bekanishkishan. He himself actually drank from this kli and clearly indicating that it's permitted. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.